Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
I mean, I'm so frustrated by the Bullets and by talking about Patrick Williams.
I know.
It's just tough.
It's a dead-end conversation.
Well, that's the problem.
I mean, we just devoted that much time to it, and now what else is there to say? At some point in time, he's got to start realizing his potential.
I try to just watch the game and see what I get from it.
The return pass to Terry, to Patrick. Here's Williams on a deep post up on Murray. Turnaround 12-footer good. I'll tell you what, this is the most comfortable I've seen Patrick Williams in a long time. This crowd on their feet saluting the rally by the Chicago Bulls in the second half, and this ball game is over. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! 129-121 over the Denver Nuggets. It's time to dance in Chicago.
I think everybody kind of stepped up. Everybody played a big
game. Yeah, Pat! Everybody give it up with Pat! Come on, give it up with Pat!
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Good morning. All good here.
Let's go!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bulls win. Time to dance, David. Get dancing, buddy.
Loosening up. Get your back ready. Chuck was dancing. We're still dancing. What a night. What a surprising night at the United Center. rewarding night.
They knocked down
confusing
their shots.
Night.
They knocked down their shots.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
Well, I think when the Bulls play like that, it makes you feel, on one hand, great about their potential. Everybody enjoyed that. It was fun to be at the United Center or watching the Bulls on television or listening to them on the radio. On the other hand, it's like, how did the team that just beat the Nuggets lose to the undermanned Hawks team a couple weeks ago?
Well, see, that's the...
It's so frustrating and yet fulfilling all at the same time.
Well... I don't know how fulfilling it is. I mean, the when did the news break that Bradley Beal, of all people, has rejected a trade to the Bulls. No, don't want to go there. Like, really? You are lucky to be in the league, man. You are like the most, you have the worst contract in the league, and you don't want it to go to Chicago.
Well, that is going to be part of the rumors. Maybe that's just the first part of the story.
Yeah.
We've got a long time.
Wait on that one.
Yeah, before that. But last night at the game, watching this team as it is, Patrick Williams responded to being benched, and you got to like that. You look at the way Lonzo Ball, very quietly, has continued to impress and amaze, really. This is one of the best stories in the league in up to this point of the season. He starts, he plays 24 minutes, he scores 18 points, and he's a difference on the court when he's able to play.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, buddy.
The bench really then helped provide a spark. You know, they outscored the Nuggets on the bench, and then they
had Patrick Williams was good off the bench of all people.
Yeah, 13-0 run to start the fourth quarter, and Billy stayed with them. Really fun night. Really fun night to watch the Bulls.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that it was a fun night, but, I mean, it is still.
Did you not enjoy it?
No, I enjoyed it, but, I mean, what is today's date? We are in late January.
January 28th is Tuesday. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, so a week from Thursday is the NBA trade deadline.
Yep.
And this is the team that is going to have to make a decision on what it is. And I think this is a team that's going to have to decide to try to keep its draft pick and maybe get some more draft picks. And I think that if they can get – and that was a good thing about the Bradley Beal kind of rumors. The idea would be they might be able to pick up a couple of draft picks if they eat all that money. And then they would also pick up their own draft pick, which they wouldn't have to trade. And now you're in business a little bit. Now you're going to change, and moving forward, you're going to be different. But I don't know that that's happening, David. I just can't tell what lane they're in, what they're trying to do, where they're headed. It was a great game. It was fun to watch. It was entertaining as hell. But it's always the undercurrent that gets you, right? Whenever we talk about the Bulls, and certainly whenever we do crosstalk and we talk about the
Bulls. Well, he's not the only player that's available via trade.
And, I know.
I know that there are other options out there. There are other teams they can deal with. And I think that, you know, the confusion that, and maybe that's the wrong term, but the uncertainty that we feel watching the Bulls because they have not yet declared what direction they're going to go, I think is reflected in that watching them, they should maybe be more definitive about what they're going to do this season. They're 20-27. They're in the 10th spot in the East, and we still don't know on January 28th whether or not they're going to be able to take a step toward intentionally losing and protecting that draft pick or trying to compete for a playing spot. It's hard to do both. But I do have some degree of understanding after watching last night again and being reminded about how inconsistent this team is.
Yes.
They're consistently inconsistent.
Yes.
And so when you see them perform like that last night, it's understandable why they can lull you into thinking that or get you to believe they're capable of doing more than they are. Because just when you start to believe that, then like a couple weeks ago, they had that nice stretch of the schedule, that homestand that stunk. And you thought, well, here's five games that they could win. And then they lose to the Hawks. They lose to the Hornets. That same team beat the Joker and company last night.
Yep.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I mean, Vooch took him out to dinner and he loosened him up a little. I mean, I'll tell you
what. Funny story about that.
Oh, yeah?
The funny story about the dinner.
Oh, tell me it.
So Gabe Ramirez, our guy Gabe.
Yeah.
Chicago Gabe.
Chicago Gabe.
Yeah, he was on the Chicago lead with me last night, and he told this story on the air, so I feel fine telling it again. He told the story about a friend of his at a restaurant in Chicago in River North. Vooch and the Joker were dining together Saturday night. The chef went to all kinds of trouble to make it feel very welcome and
special,
and it was late. After midnight, I believe. And at the end of the dinner, the chef asked Joker if he would take a picture with him.
Well, Joker doesn't like that.
And Joker says, no. And walked
Is
away.
Is that true?
Yes.
He said no.
Yes.
To the chef.
To the chef.
Okay.
No. Exit stage right. Vooch, everybody's nicest guy, apparently, and this is the way Gabe told it, said, okay, hey, I'll take a picture. I'll be there for you. And they took a picture of Vooch with everybody there. And, you know, that was kind of saving the day. But Joker, after dining late and getting treated like a king in town,
he just
did not have any time for a selfie.
That's awesome.
No selfies.
But I think that's his MO, isn't it?
Like, kinda.
Isn't he always like, remember if they won the title and they were telling him, oh, the parade is on Wednesday. And he's like, I must go home. I have to go home.
I have horses.
He wants to go ride horses. And he
I
doesn't
have to
wanna,
ride my horses.
He doesn't really want to talk to anybody.
I guess.
He doesn't want to be.
But there's one thing to be that kind of introverted or whatever, but it doesn't take much to just pose for a photo. It's not like there was a big crowd around.
But not since Bill Walton have we seen a guy that can distribute like him.
So, that was unbelievable. Pastor.
So he passed.
Boom. Oh, I wish I had said that last night. Very well played. Very well played.
Wow.
So Joker gets a triple-double, and he's going to win his fourth MVP, don't you think?
He looks like it. I don't know. I mean,
what's slowing him down?
I've given up the MVP conversations because, you know, every once in a while a guy gets it because it's his turn. Doesn't matter that he doesn't want to play afterward and he doesn't want to. It's just weird to me how we distribute MVPs.
Whose
based
turn
on,
it is? Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
the media kind of determines that.
What is that?
That's not really
based
fair.
Based on the year they had.
Yeah, I think he's having a heck of a year.
Yeah, he's having a great year.
And he had a big game last night. And those are the Nuggets. That's a team that's going to compete in the West.
Oh, they're going to be there. No question.
And the Bulls beat them. And the Bulls had seven guys in double figures,
they beat
all five starters.
They beat them fairly easily. They beat them off the bench, David. I mean, they you know, the other thing is, they knocked down shots, man. They knocked down shots.
24 threes. 24 threes. 24-53. They shot 53 three-pointers.
That's pretty good.
That is crazy. 45% from behind the arc.
Yeah.
And everybody was feeling it. When Dalen Terry is having that kind of a night, you just know it is your night. And I was really happy to see Bozelis respond.
Yeah, no, he played well.
A lot of conversation about his role and Billy Donovan essentially calling him out on the road trip, saying basically he's not a 30-minute a night guy,
mm-hmm.
and you can't guard anybody.
Well, that's the problem. You got to work on your defense if you want playing time. That's a good standard to have and to uphold.
When you saw Patrick Williams succeeding to the extent that he did, who did you think of first?
Well, I thought of our conversation where we talked about, you know, what do you do with the guy? And I think we had agreed that he needed to be benched. And then a texter is like, why are you even bothering talking about it? And I said, because it's coming to a head. Didn't you feel like it was coming to
yes.
a head? Like they had to deal with
they
it.
They had to do something.
And I guess it's the relief he feels about not starting. Or he gets more opportunity with the second team. I have no idea.
It's been hard to figure out his mental approach or where his mind is since he's come into the league,
yes.
because there's been a lot of ups and downs.
Yes.
And I think anytime there's a player who's a kind of a symbol of unfulfilled potential,
right.
you wonder how they're processing all that themselves. Because sometimes, we've talked about this before, other sports and other guys, the more aware and the self-awareness that they always talk about, well, maybe he has that, that can also be, it can work against you because you're actually conscious of how underachieving you are.
I was thinking that after that last game, what was it, 1-for-9 or whatever it was, his response in the post game was, I have game. And mm-hmm. I thought, nah, I'm not sure you do.
Not lately.
Not really.
Not here.
And then you thought, well, he's got some game.
He does have some game. And that's what the Bulls are talking about. And that's what's the most frustrating thing is that when you see flashes of potential like that, maybe it's because he didn't feel the pressure of starting. The Bulls, their starting lineup, so interesting last night because they went small. Zach and Ayo Dosunmu were introduced as the forwards. Josh Giddey and Lonzo Ball, the backcourt, and Vooch in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's today's NBA. Positionless. There's really not a forward in that bunch. There's just a center and four guards. That's fun. But when you shoot 53 threes, that's by design, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can get up and down. Now, defensively, you thought that would be challenging because Patrick Williams does give you a perimeter defender that can take on the other team's best wing guy.
Yeah, he's a very athletic guy.
So they got to, I don't want to say they got away with it, but they needed that if you believe that the Bulls need to win. I know there'll be some people that don't like what they saw last night, that they're probably wishing that that was an opportunity for them to fall deeper behind in the standings. But when you were struggling to the extent that the Bulls were going in, you just kind of wanted a feel-good moment. And I think that they were motivated by Bill Belichick being there.
Oh, that was so weird. That was so bizarre. I'm watching that game, and they just show Bill, and he's up in one of the suites, and he's talking to Mike Lombardi. And I'm like, what? Like, are they on a recruiting trip?
They must be. Right?
What are they doing in Chicago?
Well,
really?
Yeah.
Billy Donovan, the way I understand it, Billy Donovan and Bill Belichick do have a relationship that goes back probably about 20, 25 years.
Right.
And when he was at Florida, they did have some communication. I think it's a friendship that has lasted over the years. I don't know what brought Bill Belichick to town, but I did get word about, well, I don't know, 5:30, that he was in the building at the United Center. And then when I went down there talking to a couple people, he had spent some time in the Bulls locker room before the game, probably visiting with Billy Donovan, who knows who else. But I did not see Lombardi, but I did – you know, Bill had just walked out of the locker room when I'd got down there, and it was more than likely a recruiting trip because he's got to recruit Chicago.
Well, you would hope.
If you're at North Carolina.
I mean, have we heard who he's recruiting? Would anyone like to call and let us know? 312-644-6767.
Tom Lemming, are you out there?
I know. I'm just very curious. I mean, hey, was he at one of the high schools? I mean, someone saw him. He had to have, right? That's what confounded me. Is Bill now just traveling to games?
I think maybe he's working the NIL, and he's coming to the place where maybe a famous former walk-on quarterback now has come into a lot of money and wants to contribute to the program.
Okay. All right.
Ben Johnson.
There you go.
Tar Heel.
Do you think he knows him?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, maybe he went to
I don't think that's it.
I think he's got a lot going on.
He's got a lot going on.
Really busy.
Yeah,
seems to be working the phones.
He was not one of the.
Several men introduced
yesterday. Bill Belichick as a new head coach in the NFL because yesterday seemed to be the day everybody was naming their head coaches.
Right, a lot of action going around the league. Interesting to see some of the response. I thought it was hilarious to see Liam Cohen and him getting that job in Jacksonville after
Duval.
Yeah, that's not going to be the one. That is not. I don't think that's the Duval. What a weird way of saying that.
What a weird
Duval.
What a weird week he's had.
He's had a strange week.
He's had a bad start. I don't want to judge anything before he's coached a game or met a player, but the way he left Tampa, the kind of way he skulked into town in Jacksonville, and now the odd opening press conference.
They're mad at him in Tampa, and when they heard that, they probably thought, good riddance. It was just a weird thing. It was just it's kind of like watching that commercial where Matthew McConaughey is trying to save the Bears, which is a very funny commercial.
Very funny commercial.
I think it's for Uber Eats. I had to go back and look to see what they were trying to sell, but it's very funny.
Interesting choice at this point.
Weird.
To do a Ditka impersonation. It's an effective commercial. It is good. Back to the Liam Cohen thing, though. He talked. How did he end up in that job? How did he end up in that role?
Well, he was gonna. What he did is he refused it, so they fired the general manager, and then he was like, "Okay, you did what I wanted."
What a year!
And then he went there.
What a 2-year stint in that guy's career path.
Yeah.
He was at Kentucky, and then he ended up with going back to the Rams, wasn't it?
Yes.
And he interviewed with the Bears last year, didn't get the job.
Got the Tampa job, did a very good job. And they were going to make him the highest paid coordinator in the league.
But no, he wants to go to Jacksonville, get Trent Baalke fired.
Well, I mean, if he, you know, there's a lot to like about Jacksonville, including the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's going to work down there. And the fact that, you know, you had a Super Bowl winning coach and he couldn't get anywhere with it is a little bit surprising. But, hey, what the heck? He gets one of the 32 jobs and he gets a nice place, good support down there from the owner.
Yeah, maybe
Sean
it'll work.
Khan. Maybe it'll
will.
Work.
Maybe it'll work. I wonder if anybody will notice. It's one of those places where you can focus on football probably relatively easily.
I asked a guy I know who had been through there, like, what was wrong with them?
Mm-hmm.
He said that it's the owner's son. So he just blamed the owner. So he said that he was kind of a guy that liked to be involved and knew nothing.
And yet, Liam Cohen,
a football guy.
Yeah, that was probably not the biggest eyebrow raiser yesterday when we talked about NFL jobs. Jerry Jones acknowledging how big of a risk he is taking Brian Schottenheimer.
If you don't think I can't operate out of my comfort zone, you're so wrong. It's unbelievable. This is as big a risk as you could take. As big a risk as you could take. No head coaching experience. That let me share something with you. With all of that, you've just heard him reference his osmosis, his family. Anybody in this room that doesn't believe the apple doesn't go far from the tree has missed it someplace down the road. Especially if there was an effort to make it that way, and there was an effort.
So Brian's going to play Marty Ball is what I'm hearing.
So please, Jerry, again, remind us of how big of a risk you are taking. Why we should trust you.
How would you feel if you're Brian Schottenheimer? Like, hey, I got the big job I've been waiting for. This is unbelievable. What did you say?
You just undercut any confidence your coach might have.
It's a bigger risk than you're even crediting it for.
And you reinforce every doubt.
I'm the greatest gambler.
No, you're not. You're Jerry Jones.
You should not have been making this choice. He's ready for this job. You're not supposed to say, boy, am I rolling the bones.
Now, I think we both have talked to people that have characterized the way Mike McCarthy left Dallas as Jerry Jones overplaying his hand.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy, they thought, was coming back.
Yes.
And they thought there's no way he's going to walk away. And Mike McCarthy walked away.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones, strike one. Then he goes, I don't know how that job search unfolded, but when you end up with Brian Schottenheimer, I don't think it unfolded very well or with the way you had designed it.
Well,
yesterday reminded us of that.
But he got up there and he basically said, do you believe in genetics? Like, it's just weird. It's like super weird.
I mean,
Marty was training him in the cradle.
He is entertaining. I'll say that.
Oh, Jerry's the greatest.
He is entertaining.
So much fun.
And it is his team, and he can do with it what he wants. And that is the environment that Matt Eberflus is walking back into. And he is the guy that is going to be hired to provide stability and direction. How about that? Matt Eberflus likely to be the new Cowboys defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's nice. It'd be nice if they went through the process to hire him correctly.
Yeah. Well, if they followed NFL protocol.
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him.
We'll see, but that's going to be the likely direction.
You know, we have said several different times that we thought that guy was a really good defensive coordinator, okay? So I think that's a good hire.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great –
I do, too.
It's a lot like the way we're selling Dennis Allen in Chicago,
It's the same guy, essentially, from an NFL resume perspective.
Right.
Similar guy.
Ex-coach.
50s.
Guy, you know, he's been through it. He knows.
Failed head coach, good play caller.
But I don't know that I want – I understand that Brian Schottenheimer might want to say, hey, you think I had to take a timeout?
Yeah.
Do you think I should challenge this one?
Don't go to that guy for that kind of advice. No. Stay away.
That's what we give
Tell me
pause.
When to blitz. Tell me how to rush the passer.
I honestly hope that Dennis Allen is better with advice on that stuff.
Let's hope so. Let's hope he gives no advice. But I think Matt Eberflus probably has had his most comfortable night of sleep since taking this job because he doesn't have any responsibility there except for just to be the defensive coordinator. He doesn't have to worry about botching a timeout. He doesn't have to worry about clock management.
Mm-hmm.
All he's got to do is worry about is how to get to the passer. That's tough division, though.
Oh, yeah.
Tough division now.
Yeah, yeah.
You got the two teams that played for the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
And how about them Cowboys? Not very good.
No, the Cowboys have been struggling, but they went through a lot of different injuries. Didn't somebody say that Dak's going to lead them to a Super Bowl? Did Brian Schottenheimer say
that? Did he say that?
He said, I think somebody talked some big news.
A lot of big talk.
There's a lot of people.
How about Aaron Glenn?
Oh, Aaron Glenn.
Aaron Glenn. He's not taking anything.
Put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Listen, there are going to be some challenges. But with challenges becomes opportunity, gets opportunity. But here's what I do know. We're the freaking New York Jets. So we're built for this.
See, everybody loves when people cuss.
Oh, boy.
It goes viral. Aaron Glenn, that's how you win over your fan base. Cuss on day one.
I mean, the problem is they're the New York Jets.
He sounds pretty fired up, though. He's fired up and ready to go.
Do they have a quarterback? Who's the quarterback?
He talked around that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Who is their quarterback, though, if it's not Aaron Rodgers? Is Aaron Rodgers better than nothing? You're leaning toward nothing?
Does Aaron Rodgers want to play? Is $50 million down the turlet better than nothing?
Who is squandering their salary more this year? Jimmy Butler or Aaron Rodgers?
Boy, Jimmy, man. We'll get to that. It's one of our topics, I think. We'll have to get
to that.
It's
got to
be. Yeah. But that's one of the all-time... he's burning down his career. It's just weird to me. How will Jimmy be remembered? Not with a very ugly statue, David. I would say that.
I don't think that anybody's going to be casting him in bronze.
No. Not Miami. All right. We got a lot to get to. We got the pick six, all the stories of the day. We're going to pick them all apart. It's Mully and Haw. It's the Pick Six on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How about the Bears? They still have a handful of coaches who were not dismissed and have a possibility to stick around, including the tight end coach Jim Dre, defensive line Travis Smith, linebacker Dave Broganzi, safeties coach Andre Curtis. Their situations are likely to be figured out in the coming days. Does it depend on the coordinator at this point?
That is interesting stuff. That's Big Z wrote a story that they still have some guys that they haven't released yet, and they, will get definition on that. If I were any of those guys, I'd still be looking for a job, right? Because there's no tomorrow promise to anyone, so I would be worried about it. Jim Dre is the only guy that has to deal with the new offensive coordinator, but the rest of them are all would fall under the auspices
of the defensive coordinator. So it'll depend on that might be a harder job to get unless you have a relationship with him. And I believe at least one of these guys has a pre-existing relationship with him. I think Travis Smith does. So we'll see how that turns out. But, it's a good reminder from Big Z about, you know, the NFL, if you like your acronyms, antonyms, the NFL is one of these places, not for long, right? And everybody gets hired to be fired, and everybody knows they're in trouble, and you always try to make connections. So I don't know. I wish I had more certainty on which guys would be back or wouldn't be back, but I suppose you wonder about how many people a young coach would know versus an elderly coach. And, you know, he's hardly elderly, but he's been around long enough to know plenty of people.
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen's going to have some people in mind that he would like to work with. I think this is interesting. It's good reporting. But here's, if the Bears are turning a corner, if they're joining the rest of the NFL and working as a big business, then unless Dennis Allen wants one or two or three or more of these guys to stick around, he should have that choice. Ben Johnson should have that choice. Or if all these guys are back, what does that scream? It screams cheap, right? It says we don't want to have to pay these guys for a year or two to not work for us and then hire five coaches to fill that position. So if the Bears are doing business differently, these guys will be moving on to, hopefully for them, a different job in the NFL or college football.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I just don't know if that's a right assumption to make, because we don't know any of these guys if they have connections with the new coaching staff. And this is, to me, a very understandable pace of staff compilation. Ben Johnson got here 5 minutes ago, and there are going to be some guys who are going to be near the bottom of the list. I mean, you have to take care of your coordinators. You have to move on some guys who are on the Lions staff. I think those are the guys that you look at, JT Barrett and Antoine Randall. That made sense. And then Al Harris popped open, and he was a guy who was going to be on the market and sought after. He had options. So all the moves that they have made to this point are understandable in terms of the pace that they have been made. This is how the sausage is made. I mean, it takes time. It's uncomfortable for these guys to wait it out, but I don't think it's all that unusual. And so we'll see how many of these coaches are kept. We'll see how many of these coaches go to Alabama for the Senior Bowl with Ben Johnson, if he's going, who else is going with. All these are part of the typical pace of the offseason, but I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary.
Oh, boy, good question.
Voice of Coach Wanstead, he's here at 7:40. Finish this sentence, please. The best thing about the Bears coaching staff Ben Johnson is putting together is...
I think the best thing about the coaching staff Ben Johnson is putting together is its range of experience. I like the fact that they have a guy that we just compared to Matt Eberflus. You know, you got your 50-something grizzled defensive coordinator who's been in the league forever in Dennis Allen, and he's your defensive coordinator. You have a 28-year-old coaching prodigy, apparently, in Declan Doyle, and a lot of the conversation about what is he done to deserve this? And that's interesting. But if he has Ben Johnson's stamp of approval, I think a lot of people are going to be giving him a lot of respect. And then you have the ex-player factor. Just mentioned the guys who I think are key additions and improve the relatability of a staff. And that's what you want. That's what you saw in Detroit. And if that's any sort of takeaway from the Dan Campbell experience, it might be having some players, ex-players on your staff that have immediate respect when they coach these guys at practice, in the film room, etc. So Al Harris, JT Barrett, and Antoine Randall are nice additions. And then you fill it out. The offensive line hire is going to be the next key hire. These other guys that we mentioned are important, but the offensive line coach will be also very important. And you'd like to see that guy with experience, because your offensive coordinator doesn't necessarily have it. So I do think he's done a nice job of mixing and matching, and the scope of the experience levels has been most Interesting.
Antoine Randle L is the answer for me. I love that hire. I think that is going to be amazing. They've got a good room with the wide receivers. He's been there. He's done that. He's been around the Lions, so he's been around Dan Campbell. He's been around Ben Johnson, been around that culture. So that is really, really cool. There's also reports out here that the new Wonder Kid offensive coordinator related to Mike Ditka. Related to Mike Ditka. Does that do anything for you?
If it's true, I don't. Is it true?
I'm looking into it, David.
Okay.
But there is stuff on the internet about that.
What was his word?
What was the word?
What word did you use?
Related to? Under kid?
Wunderkind? No, I'm saying the sentence.
Which word did I mispronounce or misuse? Is that what we're looking for?
The best thing about the Bears coach.
Antoine Randle L.
Is.
Antoine.
Okay.
All right. I thought it was a word we were looking to finish the sentence. I beg your pardon. But you chose.
It's a person, right? I mean.
I was going to say.
It could be a noun.
I was going to say timely or well timed. I think it's rare that we see the Bears get a hire in as quickly as they did in a coaching search. And the fact is, they've given themselves time now to put together a staff. I like the defensive coordinator. I'm interested. I'm kind of fascinated by the Declan Doyle hire. I just am curious about it. I'm not sure what to make of it, and I'm wondering if indeed a guy like Ben Johnson heard of a good young coach, up and comer type like himself, and thought that would help him in what he's doing. The other thing is, the guy comes from Sean Payton. That's kind of a specific type of offense. I'm wondering if he's looking for more insight into a specific type of offense. So I'm just interested in why that hire was made.
I'd love to know who recommended him.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm saying.
Because Dennis Allen was the head coach in New Orleans, yes, when Declan Doyle, I think, left.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they have a connection.
If they have a connection.
And you wonder how that's all connected.
Right. So, but I think that the good news here is that they didn't wait and hire the last coach and now are
timely
trying to figure out how to fill different positions. So I that's what I thought. I see what you did, Dustin. You looked at it differently than I did.
Pick six.
Was beating the Nuggets 129-121 the best Bulls win of the year? What was the biggest reason for the win, and how are you with Zach LaVine missing the next couple of games for personal reasons?
I mean, it does raise, you know, the thing is the trade deadline is a week from Thursday. I know we're going to get into Jimmy Butler, but he is suspended through the trade deadline. So there's a reason teams do different things. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Jimmy's wife is on the nest, and they may be having their third
Zach's
child. I'm sorry, Zach. Zach's. Not Jimmy. I'm sorry. Zach, I think the reason Zach's missing time is for a legitimate personal reason. And you know, as a man with three children, I think it's as important to give each of them their due and be as supportive as you can with your missus for the first one, the second one, the third. They're all, you know, every child born is a miracle, for God's sake. So it's a glorious thing, and I'm happy that he's doing it. I'm sure he wants to be with his wife and to help her through this. I don't read it as any kind of a any clue to the trade deadline is what I'm trying to say. You know, was it the Bulls' best win of the year? I got to tell you, here's the question. Is it sustainable? That's, to me, the bigger issue. It's like, yeah, they had a great win. It's great to beat a team like that. But is it a fluke? We've seen the Bulls win some tight games, some good games. But does it turn anything, or does it do anything for you? Did you learn anything? I suppose you could say if all of a sudden you got a super sub out of Patrick Williams, which really seems like a stretch, then maybe it's their best win. But from a singular moment, I think they've had moments like this in this season. But is there any sustainability from this thing, which I question in my own mind?
Most surprising for sure. Did not see that coming. The reason they won the game, 24-6. The Bulls made 24 three-pointers last night. The Nuggets made 6. I mean, you live and die by the three. That's what this team does. All of a sudden, I mean, for years, we were begging the Bulls to shoot three-pointers, and they didn't want to do it as much as everybody else. Now, all they want to do is shoot threes. So the 25 made threes is the franchise record. So they were one short of that. As far as how do I feel about Zach LaVine missing the next couple of games for personal reasons, the 15 year ago, Dustin would have been really, really hot and upset about this. Absolutely no question. I understand it. I get it. But, you know, the Bulls and or Zach LaVine could get Zach home in about 3 hours, wherever he's at. They could get him back in 3 hours. The wife has gone to social media. It's not a we know that she is expecting their third child.
He talked about it too.
Right. He talked. So it's not we're not assuming this is what it is. She went on social media. So based on the fact that she's being very public and open about it, I'm hoping that everything is going excellently as far as her health and the baby's health. Now, maybe it isn't, and maybe that's part of it, and that's not really our business. Bottom line is, fine. But I think if the Bulls were in the top five of the Eastern Conference, maybe his willingness to be with the team versus not with the team for three games would be different. And again, you can get home in about 3 hours. So you could be there if, God forbid, there was an emergency.
Yeah, I think Zach LaVine's he's earned the benefit of the doubt, and he's doing the right thing. And I understand what you said, if it's a different situation, if they were up higher in the standings, maybe it would be different, but it's not. And I have no problem with that. I like the way that he was open about it, and nobody really has any problem with it. That's today's NBA and today's society, thank goodness. So the Bulls, I like that word, Dustin. I do think it might not be the best of the season, but it was maybe the most surprising. This is a team that had lost, I think, 6 of 7 and coming in, and there was no reason to believe they could beat the Joker and the Nuggets, and they were hitting shots all over the place. And then the guy that we questioned openly and everybody wondered about, Patrick Williams, he is a difference maker. Dalen Terry made an impact. Who expected that? No, where has he been all season long? So the bench play was outstanding. Lonzo Ball continues to be one of the best stories in the NBA this year. This guy, we all wrote him off last offseason. I remember talking about it, saying it myself. Don't talk to me about Lonzo Ball. I don't really want to think they can trust him. And then here he is making the kind of impact he's making. So it was the most surprising, if not the best, victory of the season for the Bulls.
I don't know if that answered the question.
That's the voice of Billy Donovan. What do you make of Billy Donovan finally benching Patrick Williams to start last night's game against the Joker and the Nuggets? How about Ayo Dosunmu in the starting lineup in a four-guard lineup instead of P-Will?
Like college basketball. You got a center and four guards. Go out and spread it out and run the four corners and whatever. It was just crazy to think that in an NBA game that you can start four guards as they did. And they won. If you're a 3-and-D team, though, I think that's the way you want to play. It's up and down. Tough matchup for the Nuggets because of that. But I have to look at the rebounding numbers. I wondered, as the Bulls trotted out that starting lineup, if they were going to get a rebound. And I think that they had 47 rebounds, and they out-rebounded the Nuggets. So take that, I guess. I don't know if you can get away with that for very long, but they got away with it last night. I love the way that Patrick Williams was handled by Billy Donovan. I love the way that Billy Donovan talks about players that he is not totally sold on. He has been so honest about Matis Bezelis and his development and how to handle that. And Bezelis responded last night with a big game. Patrick Williams also responded to being benched. And this is one of the more confounding players that the Bulls have, one of the more confounding Chicago sports athletes this year. Because in the last couple years, he's a fourth overall pick. And he didn't play like it last night. He's not played like it much at all. But last night, at least, was a step in the right direction.
David, it's a great way to put it, a step in the right direction. Now, because of the fact that he was not in the game, or part of the reason, you know, the Nuggets had an unbelievable night of points in the paint. You know, Jokic was just dunking the ball all night long. There is absolutely zero rim protection with this team. But hey, the Bulls won. Patrick Williams played big down the stretch. He was in there at the end of, you know, what's the old saying? Because you'll correct me either way. You know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. The Bulls finished off great. They went on a 12-0 run to start the fourth quarter. They hit all those threes. And at the end, it didn't matter that Jokic had another triple-double. I think six out of the last seven games, the guys had a triple-double. So, you know, let's keep him coming off the bench and keep his energy up. Maybe it motivates him. And have him in there at the end when it matters, because there's been a bunch of games recently where they've had to sit him at the end when the game mattered.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to clarify one thing. The height of the team wasn't really that impacted, right? I mean, I get it. Patrick Williams is taller than Io. But Io's 6'5", right? Pretty sure Zach Levine 6'5", Lonzo 6'6", Josh Giddey 6'8", and you know Vooch. So that's your four guard lineup. They're all. It's not like a four guard lineup we'd play at the Y, where everybody, if you had a guy who was 6 feet tall, it'd be a miracle. You know, this is NBA guard. You know, they're pretty big guards, and I thought you got more out of Io than you would have gotten out of P. Will if you'd started him, quite frankly. So I kind of liked that move. I thought it was good, and I really did feel like it was heading that way, like the way Patrick Williams had been playing. And, you know, it just was getting to a point where they had to do something. So they mixed it up, and, you know, it's pretty wild to see that many guards on the floor, but it's – you know, it's the NBA, and everybody can play guard, right? Isn't Wemby like a 7'4" guard in sheep's clothing?
What was the other part of that question?
Voice of John Heyman. He's here at 7:25. What'd you make of Jimmy Butler walking out of practice and the Heat announcing yet another suspension? This one, at least 5 games, which will take him past the Feb 6 trade deadline. Has Jimmy played his last game for the Heat? Would you trade for a suspended player, especially a guy who's been suspended 3 times in the last month?
Jimmy Butler, man. I mean, this is tough stuff because, you know, he's had a really wild career. You look at Jimmy's career, and he's Trumbull, Texas, and you know, coming out of nowhere, and somehow becoming this late first round pick that emerged into a really good player. But he's bounced around the league for a guy who has been on the verge of being a superstar. You know, guy who's been to the finals, but he hasn't won it. He's bounced around the league now, and every time he departs, it's like a really kind of negative story. It's just like, what alumni game is Jimmy going back to? Not that he worries himself with such matters. He's made a lot of money. But where's he welcome? Where is he? Like, it's just tough to watch people go through stuff like this. I did not see it. We have a texter talking about one of the reporters said that both he and Pat Riley are acting like children. I think Jimmy is acting a lot less mature than Pat Riley, okay? And I think that a lot of times when you're covering the NBA, you got to be pumping up the players. It's a players' league. But I don't blame Pat Riley because he didn't want to give the guy an extension or pay the guy or whatever. What the extension is the reason, right? That's why Jimmy is sulking so badly. This is an awful way to leave what was, you know, a really good run for him in Miami. He did very well for himself in Miami, but you look at all the stops he's had. There would be a team out there that is desperate for help right now. We need help. We got to compete. We need someone to put us over the top. But whoever signs Jimmy, whoever takes on that deal, whether it's Phoenix or anyone else. They'll regret it. They'll eventually regret it when it comes time for him to be done.
Well, first of all, shame on Jimmy Butler for handling his business like this. I think he is acting like a child, and I think Pat Riley's probably acting like get off my lawn, old man, and the two of them are so stubborn and far apart, and this is why. I don't know that this would be happening with another team not led by Pat Riley. I don't know that it, my advice would have been put your head down, play as hard as you can. If you want to stop talking to the media, that's fine. Don't talk to the media. Just go out, support your teammates, and let it be known that you want out, but continue to play your game. Walking out, but again, like, why were the Heat not going to start him? Right, the Heat announced they weren't going to start him, so that's why his recent walk-off. Like, why would you not start Jimmy Butler? He's not Patrick Williams, so that's a ridiculous insult as well. Has he played his last game with the Miami Heat? Yes. Would I trade for him? No.
It's not insulting when he has been divisive and is a cancer in the locker room. They're doing the right thing. Jimmy Butler is a problem, and he's always been a problem. He talked his way out of Chicago. He talked his way out of Minnesota. He talked his way out of Philadelphia. Now he's trying to talk his way out of Miami. He's making $48 million. Please, this guy is what's wrong with professional sports. He got to a couple NBA finals, didn't finish the job. Fine. He can lead a team. He can play defense. He's 35 years old. Read the room, Jimmy Butler. You're not the same player you used to be. You want to force a trade? Whether it's Pat Riley or whoever's making the decision, Spoelstra, I wouldn't start him either. I wouldn't put a guy like that on the court. What has he done to earn his way onto the court? This is just Jimmy Butler being what Jimmy Butler always has been, a problem.
Hey, here's a question for you guys to discuss and ponder.
Voice of Mike Florio there. He's with you at 8:44 this morning for Pro Football Talk. Which DC, defensive coordinator, in Super Bowl 59 would you rather have? Vic Fangio of the Eagles or Steve Spagnuolo of the Chiefs? Are they in the 10 best of the NFL right now? And who will have the greater NFL legacy?
Well, I think they're among the two best in the league. And whoever wins, I guess, can stake claim to being the best. Vic Fangio's been around longer. Spags is somebody who definitely, if he wins this Super Bowl with that defense, and the defense is a big reason, he will go down as one of the best defensive coordinators in NFL history. We talk all the time and revere Buddy Ryan, and that was one. Imagine having multiple Super Bowls to pick which is your favorite. And Steve Spagnuolo gets overlooked. I think he may be the most overlooked defensive coordinator in the NFL because he plays or he coaches on a team where Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce work. Spags is a guy that is understated, but should not be underappreciated. Definitely in the conversation for one of the best assistant coaches ever if he wins this game. Vic Fangio just keeps on doing what he does. We appreciated it for a couple years in Chicago. There are a lot of NFL cities that have had that benefit, but these guys are clearly at the top of the list. You know, Jim Schwartz is a guy that has some respect in the top five. There's other guys who bounce around. Maybe Matt Eberflus will get in that top five category if he has a couple good years in Dallas, but it's clearly this is the cream of the crop.
Agree. These guys are the cream of the crop, David. Great way to put it. One of these two will win the Super Bowl. They will get a ring. They'll get a nice check. The confetti will rain down on them. They'll get to hug their players and their friends and family that got down to the game. Now, if Spagnuolo is able to dial up a defense that slows down Saquon Barkley, right? This would be his third or fourth consecutive playoff game with over 100 yards rushing. So if they were able to like hold him to 75 yards rushing and the Chiefs win, that's going to be a big check mark for Spagnuolo. If Fangio is able to dial something up and slow down Patrick Mahomes and help them, you know, keep them to 20 points, let's say, or 21 points, not necessarily the game you want to see, that's going to be a massive check mark for Vic Fangio. I actually looked this up and I forgot about it. Maybe you guys remembered, you probably did. If you mentioned it yesterday, shame on me. When this Super Bowl happened 2 years ago, Vic Fangio was brought in by the Eagles for 2 weeks to help out. Do you remember the defensive coordinator for the Eagles in that game? Sean Desai. Sean Desai, the former Bear coach, was the DC in that game. And Fangio was brought in. Now, it was a high-scoring game. So, but again, Fangio knows the Chiefs, coached against them when he was a head coach in Denver. So this is going to be one of these two guys. If they put out, if the reason their team wins is because of the defense, I think one of these two who have been around a long time will check their box for Canton.
Yeah, I think that I think this is a really interesting question because, you know, you got to ask yourself when you're looking at this sort of a thing. You ask yourself, like, who's the best player on the field? You know, the best player on the field often does very well in these games. So it's probably, I mean, I'm you know, with due respect for the season Barkley's having, it's Mahomes. And who's the best coach on the field? Well, it's Andy Reid. So who's the best coordinator on the field? This is, I mean, this is a real tight one. I would say Spags has got more success. Right, I don't think Vic's ever won a Super Bowl. Right, he's been to one and lost to John Harbaugh with Jim, but that's doesn't. I think there's more talent on the, and they've done a great job of rebuilding that defensive line and keeping that a strength over the years. But I think there's more talent for Philadelphia, and I think if they win the game, Vic Fangio is going to play a really big role in it. Spags, I mean, what is his toughest assignment? How do you stop Saquon Barkley? You know, teams have geared up to stop him through the playoffs, and the guy's getting two touchdowns a game. I mean, how do you stop that guy when he breaks a 66-yard or 62-yard touchdown run on his first touch of the game? I mean, that is like a, that's a really, there's not, you can't just throw an extra defender somewhere and think that means Saquon shut down. It is like a fascinating question, really, really good question to look at. I would say that they are by far two of the best in the NFL, and Spags might not be remembered that way, but he probably has the greater legacy because of the wins.
Yeah, the rings.
Yeah, the rings the thing. All right, we got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
In the past months, the Chicago sports stars like Mark Burley, Sammy Sosa, and Derrick Rose have received honors that mark their legacy one way or another. Who is the next Chicago sports star who will be hearing about being honored in a similar fashion?
Based on the Mark Burley statue, what it's going to look like, what the pose will be, and... Yep. That's been fun to consider. I think it seems also very familiar because we just got done talking about Sammy Sosa and, well, Sammy, do you want the statue or the retired jersey? Both! And obviously Derrick Rose night at the United Center brought up a lot of memories. I think that it's got to be one of the Blackhawks, doesn't it? I think that maybe Jonathan Toews at some point, but is he coming back? I would think it'd have to be a Blackhawk given how many players in that range. I know everybody in the organization kind of wants to forget that sometimes or maybe wait till it's more appropriate to remember that or honor that, but I would think it would maybe Jonathan Toews. I don't know if it's going to be a Bears Hall of Famer. I don't know if anybody's that close between Lance Briggs and Tillman and Olin, possibly. But I think if you look at somebody who might be outside the box a little bit, Candace Parker, you know, she's out of the WNBA, maybe the Chicago Sky, looking for some sort of buzz, retires her jersey. She won a championship here in her hometown. I'm not quite sure, but maybe John Lester, if it's a Cub, maybe John Lester is the next guy. That 2016 team doesn't really have anybody that screams Hall of Famer or legacy. They were just it was just a great team. Joe Maddon, I don't know. What do you think, Dustin? I don't know if there's any definitive guy who's kind of waiting his turn because the three we just mentioned, they were all kind of due.
Well, I do think this is a very fun question, and I'll just say it. I may not answer this the way we want it answered, but you just brought up the 2016 Cubs, David, and what my original thought was, and I know he wasn't an athlete per se, but if you're going to honor anybody for the 2016 team in some shape or fashion, wouldn't it be Theo Epstein? Wouldn't he be the person that
I
you would?
I thought you were going to say Joe Madden. Honest to God,
when you just set that up.
Yep. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I would go Theo Epstein. Now, David, I think you make a really good point about Jonathan. I don't think you can do Kane because he's still playing.
Right.
Taves, maybe he comes back. Maybe he doesn't. It also, like, they might be the team that needs the best PR hit that hasn't done something yet, meaning the Blackhawks. So that's why maybe the Taves thing makes sense. Where are we, though? Where are we with Steve McMichael? So Steve McMichael is entering the Hall of Fame. He's getting that honor, which is like the ultimate honor. Will the Bears do a patch or a decal, or will they paint something on the field to recognize and honor him? And is that the same? I don't think they're going to retire the number 76, and I don't think they should. But could that be could there be a Mongo patch or a Mongo sticker or a Mongo paint job on the field? Is that connect? It's not a statue. It's not a retirement jersey. But I actually think the really next one, if Mongo fits the criteria, I think a Mongo patch or sticker is what we probably would see next. And the 2016 Cubs, for me, it's Theo.
So I looked at this a little differently, too. I was thinking about these three people who are mentioned here. So you got Burley, who is almost like in self-exile, not exile, just a guy that likes to be by himself. He's down on the farm and hunting and, you know, had a great career here. Always welcome to anything, but doesn't really go out that much. So it was great that they brought him in and they reconnect and they're going to do the statue, and that's wonderful. And it makes sense. He's one of the greatest players I've ever seen. I think that that Derrick Rose had left the team and was at different places and was, you know, it wasn't until he retired that you could have him back and then kind of celebrate what was a career cut by injury. Sammy Sosa, now that's an actual exile, and that's a very long time that you went, and that was because he didn't apologize. So you got the apology, but he wouldn't apologize for what you might have wanted to apologize, but he said apology. Let's just celebrate him. I think that there will be some great Ditka celebration at some point, and he will be honored, for one of the great football lives of this century and very important
that's
Chicago.
That's a good one, too.
And I think that he's never not been welcome.
He's never not been honored.
No, he's never not been honored.
Look at the commercial.
Honored. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's you're paying homage to Mike Ditka in the commercial.
But it occurred to me, like, am I wrong to think that at some point, and, you know, I'm not saying it's going to come now, but at some point maybe Brian Urlacher is kind of back in the fold. He left in a bad way, kind of, right? His career probably ended the wrong way.
Yeah.
And, there are teammates of his who I've talked to that aren't happy with some of the political stuff that's come out. I think that Urlacher will at some point be welcomed back and have a moment with the Bears. And I don't even think he's ostracized or removed, but he's just not with them at this point for whatever reason.
It's a kind of thing, if you're talking about alumni relations, you know, with Bears alumni, that Kevin Warren, if he's very smooth and as polished as people say, and we have seen at times, maybe that's an area that he could improve.
Olin, I mean, that's a great one that you mentioned earlier. I mean, they ought to give him a call and apologize. All right. We got a lot to get to, and we'll get to your phone calls next. 312-644-6767. Mullion Haw on the Score.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You know, I feel bad, David. We mentioned Joe Madden because I thought that's where he was going. But what about Ozzy? Shouldn't they do like a big Ozzy fest?
Well, I thought Ozzy would be the next statue at the rate.
Yeah.
Mark Burley's certainly deserving. Ozzy deserves to have his number retired. Some sort of gesture. Ozzy is a guy that has
earned it as a player. Yes.
Yeah, a player and a manager, and certainly carving his niche as a broadcaster. Looking forward to his return. I think he's doing something in Winter League Baseball. in Venezuela, I believe, and we'll look forward to him returning, hopefully, and a weekly visitor, as we are lucky to talk to him every Wednesday during the baseball season. So in the Athletic, we heard Chuck coming in. The Bulls did win last night, 129-121. It overshadowed, if you are following this closely, some of the news of the trade speculation. The Athletic reports that Bradley Beal, who played for Billy Donovan at Florida, has a connection with the Bulls coach. He will not waive his no-trade clause to go to the Bulls. A source familiar with the three-time All-Stars thinking told The Athletic. That is from a story by Fred Katt in The Athletic. So a lot of different machinations, a lot of different speculation, and it doesn't appear that if Jimmy Butler, who is forcing his way out of Miami, the Suns are one of the potential teams he would go to, if they get involved, and the Bulls are mentioned as a participant in that trade circus, that Bradley Beal would permit himself to be traded to the Bulls. So that you can eliminate that from the possibilities.
Yeah, well, and what I liked about that one, and again, I don't like anything about what's going on, really. It was fun to watch the game last night. But I think if you were to get a couple first-round picks for Eaton's salary and you were to get your own first-round pick, which is top 10 protected, so if you're in the top 10, then you all of a sudden you would have a chance to kind of fast-forward the rebuild a little bit. Now, look, some bottom-shelf first-round pick is not going to turn your franchise, but maybe if you combine them, you can move up and get a shot at something good.
I don't think you want any part of the Brad Beal contract, though.
No,
you $160 don't. $160 million left, I think. It's going to be something that is problematic, and it just seems like they can do better if that's what you're trying to accomplish. And I just don't know if that's feasible. And so it's surprising, but Bradley Beal does not want to go to a cold weather city and wants to be on a winner. And the Bulls have
he can control
our team that, yeah, is not winning in a cold weather city. So
yeah, he can control that. So there's nothing you can do about it. The other news that came out a couple days ago, I think it was, that the idea of Vooch being traded to the Golden State Warriors, the compensation for that, they do not want to give up a first-round pick for him.
Right.
And that's what the Bulls are looking at. They don't want to just give away players. Well, we're getting to a point where if they're going to make any kind of deal, they're going to have to make the deal and take what they get and move on.
Yes, that's another part of this. So it's going to continue till the trade deadline, speculation, a lot of different rumors and reports. Quickly, Molly, before we get to – we'll talk Bulls when we come back. Did you see that the Chicago Marathon raised $36 million for charity in 2024's event? And it was a record for the marathon.
Wow.
And our guy, Carl Allegretti, ran his 70th, and the press release was yesterday. Carl Allegretti raised $277,000 himself.
Holy cow.
That is an amazing amount of money, a tremendous gesture, and what a commitment to a charitable cause. So we know Kerry Pinkowski runs a marathon.
Kerry, great man.
Great guy. And Carl Allegretti certainly raising the money, setting a record.
Great friend of the program, friend of the station.
So when you think about, we are aligned with the Chicago Marathon, and yesterday it was made official in the release that they should celebrate the fact that they raised $36 million.
That's
a record for charity in this year's event.
That's absolutely incredible.
Great job, guys.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's great stuff. All right, we've got your phone calls next, 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.